Good morning, New Life family. Welcome to our online worship service. My name is Ed Vandenberg, and this is my wife, Sharon. We will be your hosts for this week. We have been members at New Life Church since the very beginning, 35 plus years, and loving it. If you are new here, help us get to know you by filling out a virtual Connect card. The link for this is in the video description.
This month's Serve focus is a food drive for Archway, Life Recovery, and Joshua House. There's a lot of mouths to feed here, and we're hoping as a community that we can go above and beyond for these awesome ministries. So the next time you're grocery shopping, please pick up something extra like cans of soup, canned vegetables, or ground coffee. Drop off your donation during church office hours or call the church to have someone pick up your donation. Church will also be open this afternoon from 1 to 3 to enable you to drop off your donations as well. Check out the events tab on the New Life website for a complete list of needed food items. And for fun, compete with staff to see who will have to eat their least favorite food. Check it out.
And now we want to give you information on the offering for today. The offering is a way to worship God by giving of our money. You are encouraged to give this week to the New Life missionaries. New Life Church supports three missionaries. They are Fred Victory in Turkey, Eve Pohl, founding director with Hope for Cora in Ethiopia, and Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn, who work on Bible translations in Nigeria. As you can see on your screen, there are several ways to give. Do it today. And thanks to God for all that He gives to you. In the video description is a link for learning more on how to give. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you, Lord, that we can participate through this service, this online service. But Lord, we know that all things are in your hand. We pray for healing for our country and for our world. In the meantime, Lord, we want to support those who are going out into the world and who are making a difference. We think of Fred Victory, Lord. We thank you for him and his passion to serve you in the Middle East. We pray also for the Hope for Cora, which Eve Pohl is the founding director. We just pray for her and their whole team that you would bless them. And also for Jonathan and Janice Barnhorn, Lord, we pray for them, but also for their children, their family, Lord, to pray that you would stay close to them. And we just pray now, Lord, for a blessing on their ministries. And Lord, we ask you to help us to be generous in all that we do and all that we give. Amen.
Kids, as per usual, Pastor Sam put together a video and activity sheet for you. Just visit newlifecrc.ca/kids to find this week's activity. Every month, new kids start a new series. This month's series is called Strike a Pose. Kids will be pushed, pulled, and shaped into different poses to help tell the stories of how the early church was started and exploded into the world and how they can help build God's church today. Now we're going to join together in worship. And after, we are going to continue in our series with Bruce Gritter, Tomorrow People. You can pause this video anytime to set up your kids with their own lesson. Have a great Sunday.
So we're in the second week of a series here at New Life called Tomorrow People. And this is a series in which we're talking about how important it is not just to live for today, but to live in the light of eternity. So many people in our culture just live for today, but people who believe that Jesus is real and that the kingdom that he died to bring is real, they understand that eternity is already in session, in that the most important decisions that you have to make is whether or not you want to be a part of this kingdom that he came to bring. So right off the hop this morning, I want to talk about the main concept that we're going to talk about this morning, and it centers around this word, the word invested, invested. And that's what the title of the message is today, invested in eternity. Tell me, what do you think about when you think about this particular word? Well, most of us probably, when we hear this word, we think about it in relation to money, right? I'm invested in the stock market. I'm invested in business. I'm invested in the house that I own. Of course, we can also use it to describe something that we're significantly committed to, like I'm invested in this family, or I'm invested in the success of this company, or I'm invested in this school or this church. What we mean when we use the word invested is that we've got some chips in the game. I'm betting on something. I'm expecting a certain outcome, and I'm hoping that outcome will be positive for me. What's more, when I say I'm invested, I'm saying that I believe that whatever I'm invested in has value in one way or another, and that one day I'm going to be able to capitalize on that value. I'm hoping that my stock market investments are going to go up so that one day when I'm old and gray, I'll have money to pay for what I need to pay for. I'm hoping that my investment in my family will yield a return in terms of love and being cared for in the future. I'm invested in this school because I'm hoping that my children will one day become nuclear physicists and not McDonald's employees. But now here's an important point to consider regarding investing. If I didn't believe the thing that I was investing in has value, I wouldn't invest in it, would I? Every so often, I get phone calls or emails, I'm guessing you get these too, from people who apparently have stumbled onto a fortune in an African country and they need my help to unlock it. Or I'm given the opportunity to buy some incredible timeshare property. I still have a broker that calls me from time to time from Vancouver with these amazing, you know, startup stock market opportunities. But to all these incredible opportunities, I say no. Why? Because I don't believe they'll pay off. Now here's the crucial question this morning that I want to ask you, and that is, are you invested in eternity? Are you invested in the kingdom that Jesus came to bring near? This future life that Jesus has made available now. With this question in mind, I want to read from the Gospels, the Gospel according to Matthew this morning, chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but it'll appear on the screen. In this chapter, Jesus tells two very simple parables back to back. So simple, in fact, that you're tempted just to read over them, but you shouldn't because they're profound. He's talking about the kingdom of God, the nature of the kingdom. And this is what he taught. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. In these parables, Jesus is trying to help us understand the nature of reality, the way things are. Listen, one of the most important decisions that you can make in your life is to accept Jesus as your teacher. To accept the fact that Jesus was the smartest person who ever lived, and that because of who he was, the living Son of God, he knows things about reality that no one else knows. And what he says in these verses, if you truly understand it, about the kingdom of God is this, that if you truly understand what's being offered to you in terms of the kingdom, you would do anything to enter into it. You would do anything to invest in it. Notice the language of the parables. Jesus doesn't say, well, there was this man who had this investment opportunity, so weighing his options, he decided to take a portion of his RSP and to invest in it. He hoped that the investment would bear some good returns. In the case of the merchant, he doesn't say, well, there was this merchant that ran across this incredible buy opportunity, and weighing his options, he decided to buy the pearl. No. In both cases, in the case of the man and the merchant, they sold everything they had, everything, in order to possess this one thing. What's more, they didn't do it fearfully. They didn't do it thinking, oh boy, I hope this doesn't go south. They didn't do it reluctantly, thinking, boy, I hope my wife never finds out about this. No, they did it, how? They did it joyfully, with great joy, it says. It's like they were saying to themselves, I can't believe it. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've just won the lottery. I've just made the best investment of my lifetime. I would be the dumbest person in the world if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity. Old story. A man walks into an antique shop one day, and mostly it's just cluttered with worthless junk. On the floor, he notices what he begins to realize is a Chinese vase from the Ming Dynasty. Priceless, priceless. And so he decides to get a little stealthy, and so he says to the owner, he says, you know, you have an incredible cat there. That is one of the most beautiful cats that I've ever seen. I'm willing to give you $1,000 for that cat. And the owner goes, $1,000? Wow, well, I mean, it's the family pet, but I mean, I can't turn down $1,000 for a cat. He says, okay, we have a deal then. And he says, but also maybe, you know, I'm going to need something to feed the cat out of, so maybe you could just include that little vessel on the floor by the cat, and I'll just, you know, I'll use it to feed him milk. And the owner of the store goes, well, I couldn't possibly do that. That's a, you know, it's a vase from the Ming Dynasty. But he says, it's a curious thing. Ever since I started feeding my cat out of it, I've sold 17 cats. You see, we assign value in different ways. What Jesus is saying is that if you truly understand what the kingdom is, it's like finding a treasure of unprecedented value. So, of course, this begs the question, what's so valuable about the kingdom of God? And maybe some of you, if you're new to this Christianity thing, you're asking an even more basic question, what exactly is the kingdom of God? Well, when he was here, Jesus taught that there is a domain called the kingdom of God. It is the range of God's effective will. It's wherever God's will is done. It's the sphere in which everything that happens is approved by God, meets with his approval and delight. Everything is precisely as he wants it to be, where the greatest humble themselves like little children. There are no big shots, no arrogant egos. No one has anxious thoughts. Every encounter between people causes them to walk away with more joy than they had before. As the Apostle Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Watching over this realm is its greatest servant and most joyful caretaker, our magnificent God, the Father of Jesus, who endlessly is celebrated for his infinite self-giving love. This, Jesus says, as he taught, is the kingdom of God. It exists right now. People that you know who love and trusted God and have died are immersed in this kingdom in this very moment. Then there is the kingdom of earth. Well, how's that going? Well, not so good nowadays, right? Violence, betrayal, pandemic, thousands of people dying on a daily basis, women being sexually assaulted and marginalized or objectified by men, people killing each other in the name of religion, God's creation getting polluted, vows of fidelity getting broken, racial injustice constantly smoldering, often exploding, culture wars, the politicalization of almost everything, cynicism and fear and depression and isolation. How's that going? Not very well, is it? The kingdom of earth is not good news these days. But Jesus has a plan. He describes it in the world's most famous prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And those words in particular are important to focus in on, because what Jesus is saying is he's saying, here's my plan. I'm going to bring this realm, the kingdom of God, down here. Like a lot of Christians, I grew up praying the prayer, beam me up, Scotty, right? From the old Star Trek series. I thought we were supposed to ask God to get us out of this messed up world so that we could go to heaven. But Jesus taught a different prayer. Not get me out of here so I can go up there, but make up there come down here. Make things down here run the way they do up there. Jesus told us to ask God to bring heaven, your kingdom, your will, your righteousness, your goodness, down here to my office, my neighborhood, my small group, my family, my country, starting with my life, my body, my own little kingdom. Jesus' gospel involves the greatest offer of all time, the salvation of your whole life, both now and forever. Not just getting you into heaven, but getting heaven into you. This is why when you really understand the nature of what Jesus is offering, it's like finding treasure in a field. You'd sell everything to possess it and laugh yourself all the way to the bank. It's like if it was a late night TV infomercial, you'd call without delay. It's the good news of all good news. Now, you may wonder, if the kingdom has come in Jesus, why is the earth still a mess? Why is there pain and suffering with us? Why is there a pandemic? And the answer is, and this took the early church decades to come to grips with, it's because other kingdoms still exist in this world. Other wills still remain besides God's will. They are still present, and thank God, because one of those stubborn wills that stands opposed to the kingdom of God is my will. But it doesn't have to be that way. If we're willing to say, and this is really the heart of the gospel, if we're willing to say to God, not my will, but yours be done, we enter into the kingdom. We enter into the realm of God. We are saved. This is why the most profound thing that Jesus said before he went to the cross are these very words. Father, not my will, but yours be done. If you can say that with Jesus, you enter into his life, life eternal, the life of the kingdom. Listen, when Jesus was born, Rome had a gospel. There's an old Roman inscription that reads, "The birthday of the God," referring to Caesar Augustus, "was the beginning for the world of the glad tidings," notice the words, "that have come to men through him." But you know, the gospel of Jesus is a claim that this good news of Rome, this good news purchased with violence and fear, is fake news. No merely human kingdom can redeem and transform the earth. Only King Jesus can do that. And his ultimate success is certain. And if you want, you can be a part of it. He invites you in as a gracious gift to become an agent of the kingdom, to experience God's reign in your own life, your own body, to have your own will be a conduit of God's power, joy, love to this bruised and bleeding world that we live in. Okay, so now you're beginning to understand a little bit of the gravity of what Jesus taught. You're beginning to understand the nature of the kingdom. It's the biggest thing going, friends. Beyond all the mundane things that we give ourselves to each day. So this is why tomorrow people do something that I want to talk to you about this morning that I already mentioned. They invest. They invest in the kingdom, in the future. But now let's talk a little bit more briefly about how you invest in the kingdom. Let's talk about three things, and this isn't new: your time, your talents, and your treasures. And let's talk about how you can, in this church, in this community, in this town, in this city, in this province, invest in such a way that the kingdom of God comes from up there, down here. First thing, time. Your time. You know, a lot of folks here at New Life give themselves in all kinds of different ways during the course of the week. They'll take a Monday and they'll give themselves at the Gleaners. They'll take a Wednesday and they'll give themselves to an addiction group downtown. They'll take a Friday and they'll volunteer at the Bibles for Mission store. Now you ask yourself, why would anybody do this? Why would anybody take a perfectly good Monday when you could be golfing, or you could be playing tennis, or you could be getting a massage, or you could be doing anything else, and you'd invest it in these activities? Well, the reason is this: because they understand, they have come to understand that this investment invests in eternity. It's because Jesus taught us that when people help other people in this way, when they invest in people, when they love people with their time, the kingdom of God comes a little bit. And it's through these actions that God's kingdom becomes a present reality. James said it this way. He said, "Peacemakers who sow in peace," what? Listen now, "heap a harvest of righteousness." In other words, James is telling us it's the smart thing to do. People who choose to be peacemakers aren't just wasting time. No, they are sowing something. They are investing something in the community that is most precious to God, in people. And God says, because of your investment, just like any farmer who plants a crop, there will be a harvest. There will be a payoff. Now, it's important for me to say this. All work is God's work. I'm not saying that just church work or just serving work is kingdom of God work. No, all work, every vocation that God has called us to, to do, whether you're a lawyer, a plumber, an accountant, a nurse, a teacher, it doesn't matter. But when you do it to the glory of God, when you do it in such a way that it brings God's kingdom down here, it's a powerful thing. And it's an investment in eternity. The truth is, we waste so much precious time on so many silly things, don't we? How much time do we spend on the internet or just with kind of worthless things? God says, take your time. Take this precious gift that I've given you, the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the years, and invest them in the kingdom of God, and you will be rewarded. There will be a harvest. All right, second thing, talents. You know, I'm always fascinated by how talented people are. Several weeks back, I got a text message from my former foster daughter, and she said, Dad, she still calls me Dad, and she said, I wanted to show you some of the paintings that I've been doing. And you're always a little bit worried when somebody says that, because you think, okay, you know, is this going to be any good? I mean, a lot of people think they're great painters or great writers or great songwriters, and it doesn't turn out to be that way. But she sent me these pictures. Have a look. Here are some of the pictures that she sent me. And when I saw them, I was just amazed. I never knew. I never knew how talented she was in this area, that she had the ability to create this kind of art. And I wonder sometimes how many of you out there are talented in powerful ways. You have these latent talents, but you're just kind of timid about using them. It's important to understand that every one of us has talents. There was a book that came out a couple years back called Strength Finders, and it talked about how some of us are activators, and you're the kind of person that knows how to motivate other people. Some of us are commanders. We're the kind of folks that know how to exercise leadership. Others are empathizers. My wife is this way. She knows how to come alongside other people and to weep with those who are weeping. Some are arrangers. You just know how to organize events and the people, and I love you for that. And there's analyzers. You're just good at solving problems. There are those of you who are great at communication, like the folks who do this camera work every week. They're amazing at what they do. And there are many, many others. Every one of us has talents. Now let me ask you, are you using your talents to build the kingdom of God? The Bible calls them spiritual gifts. Listen to this. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do so diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. What is your gift? What is your gift? What is your talent? Invest. Don't hold back. Use those gifts to invest in eternity, to bring the kingdom of God down here and so bless the world. Last one, treasures. Now imagine this morning if by some nefarious means I got a copy of your latest bank statement. And imagine if I publish it up here on this big screen behind me. Now, some of you would be okay with it. I mean, we'd probably see a few things that were kind of a little bit strange. Like, you go to Tim Horton Donuts that much? Like, you're a little out of hand, man. But generally, we'd see that your finances are in order. There's, you know, that you help the less fortunate in God's name, that you're paying your bills, you're saving for your future, and you're blessing the church. But for some of you, as you just sort of like project that out in your mind, you know, you'd be horrified, right? Because we find out some things about you that would be a little embarrassing. For some of you, we'd see how far under you are in the debt department, right? For others of you, we'd see how you've virtually, despite what you say publicly, you've given nothing to the work of God in the world. We detect patterns in your giving and how you're investing. Now listen, I'm not saying this to shame you. I'm not. The reason I'm sharing it is because of all the places in your life, it's important for you to be diligent in this area. This area can bless so many people. In this very service, in this very video, Mike is giving you the opportunity. He's going to talk to you about this opportunity to give to the work of this church, to enable this church to be able to do the work that God has called it to do. You ought to give. You ought to invest in the work of God in the world. Listen, this is why in the New Testament, Paul is so adamant about these things, right? Listen to these words about how Paul is talking to us about our treasures in relation to the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 9 says this. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then these words, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see, it's just the smart thing to do. It's the smart thing to do, because God promises whatever you give here on earth, God will enlarge. God sovereignly is invested in giving. And what we give, God will bless. So let me ask you, are you giving consistently? Are you taking the amazing resources, and we live in an amazing world, especially here in the West, right? Where God has downloaded some pretty incredible resources into our lives. Are you using those resources to bless the kingdom of God? Again, it's the smart thing to do. Let me end with this. When Jesus was here, he taught us that the most important project that every one of us has in this life is to bring heaven down here. To bring eternity, God's will, into our lives. And when you choose to serve him with your time, with your talents, and your treasures, you're making an investment that one day, when you stand before the throne of God, and every one of us will pay off. May God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for convicting us. May we take these words to heart. In the kingdom, Jesus, you give us the opportunity of a lifetime. Help us, like the merchant and the man, to realize that it's a treasure. The kingdom of God is a treasure that we must invest in. And that when we do, there will be a harvest of righteousness. We bless and thank you. In Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Mike Vanderquack. I have the honor of serving here at New Life as executive pastor. And I'd love to tell you about a long-awaited project that we have here at New Life. We're in the process of upgrading our auditorium. And these long-awaited changes are happening now, and it's very exciting. And we invite you to prayerfully consider investing into the church by giving to this project to help us fulfill the ministry that God is calling us to, not only today, but into the future. New Life's facility was built in the mid-1990s. And over the years, we've had a successful expansion. We've done a number of upgrades to the facility. The Board of Elders has realized that there are some challenges that have presented themselves in the auditorium over the years. They want to upgrade it to present technology, present aesthetic, and we all desire for this facility to be, and the auditorium to be, a place that is welcoming, that is inspiring, that is worshipful, and a place of wonderful celebration. We began the auditorium renovations when COVID began, and we are approaching it in three phases. So phase one was to address the stage lighting system and also our video projection system. Both were failing. And as you can see now, phase one is complete. We're so grateful that we could complete phase one with our savings. Now on to phase two, which is what we are currently working on. And phase two has a number of different areas that we are addressing. The first area that we're addressing is the color of the auditorium. The acoustic panels is another one that we wanted to address too. They weren't working so well, and we had acoustic problems in here. The other aspect of phase two is the house lighting. It is dim, and it's begun to fail. And after so many years of service, you know, we're grateful for it, but it's time to change it out. Phase two, the budget for this is $170,000. And this is what we're asking you to invest into New Life's future by giving towards. And we have secured a loan for $170,000, but we're asking you to give to offset those costs. And the strength of your gifts will give us momentum into the future. Phase three doesn't have a start date yet, and we haven't figured out the project costs. But the scope of phase three is we're going to change the carpet in the auditorium. The ceramic flooring on the main floor also desperately needs to be changed. We're eager also to update the four original bathrooms, the four bathrooms that were built with the facility originally. When those are finished, phase one, two, and three are auditorium will be wonderfully upgraded, and we'll be so grateful for the worship space and the place of celebration that it will provide. We are asking you to prayerfully give to the auditorium upgrades to invest into New Life's future by helping offset the costs of the auditorium upgrades. We are confident that Christ will use these upgrades for his glory and for his mission today and into the future. And when you give to the facility upgrade fund. And you can give that in a variety of ways. You can e-transfer, you can bring a check to the church, and our New Life app has the option of giving to the facility upgrade fund. Please prayerfully consider giving to this project. We are excited about this investment into the church and into the future. Thank you so much.
Shine upon you, be gracious to you, upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you.
Our hope and prayer is, as the worship team has led us, that we would receive a blessing from God. And this week, we have still a chance to bring some community food bank items here to the church. And in fact, today we're open from 1 till 3. Today on Sunday, we're going to be open for a couple hours from 1 till 3 so that you can bring your last items to the church. Some of the things we're looking for that are still in need are olive oil, sugar, jam, and ground coffee. We want to be a blessing to the community here in Abbotsford. And tonight, Abide is happening. It's outside this time, and it's at 7 o'clock, and it won't be live streamed because it's difficult technically to do that outside, but it's going to be an in-person time of worship and prayer. Chance to press in and worship our Lord and Savior. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. We'll see you.